All right. Good afternoon. I hope you guys had a good day. Anybody out there? Okay. Sound pretty good for a bunch of guys. I was asked today what kind of projects that I'm working on, and I mentioned the two books, maybe Serve Christ, the New Testament, Old Testament Journey, just been out in the last few months. But I'm really excited about a project called Bible Numbers and Symbols. We haven't had a really good book in our circles on biblical numerology for a long time. And so it takes numbers 1 through 40 and then some numbers after that. And then the back part of the section of the book is all on symbols. For example, when we're looking at the book of Revelation and Revelation 1 verse 1, John is saying the revelation came to the Father, to the Son, Father, Son, Angel, John, to us, but it's being signified. And so as John is seeing these things, he's trying to write down what he's seeing, and the revelation is a visual symbolic revelation. So you have to understand the symbols to understand what he's, what he means. And so I think this will be a fun project. I've been wanting to get this for many years, but this summer it's been kind of the back, anytime I've had time, I've been working on it. It's in editing now. We're working on the cover. I think probably within a couple months, it could be out. So that's the next project on the stove. All right. So we're coming to our sixth point. Last evening, we saw that the church is representing the manifold wisdom of God. And in heaven, God gets all the glory. Anything that's described in heaven is a reflective glory of the Lord. Anything that's a competing glory is concealed. And the church is representing that with the visual ministry. We talked about the head covering and the uncovered head of the men, the covered head of the sisters last night. Our sixth point we'll be looking at, and again, these are things that God is showing of himself, manifesting his glory in the church. And the sixth point is, make sure this is on, the plurality of male leadership and their safety in the multitude of counselors. What is God trying to show us? Well, we've already looked at some of these passages. I had no idea what Mercer was going to be speaking on, but it's dovetailed nicely into what the Lord exercised me on. And these are some of the verses in which we have mentioned a plurality of men that were acting as or appointed as leaders within the local assembly. So Paul tells Titus when he goes to Crete to appoint elders in every city. Acts 4:23, we have Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Actually, I think I have these verses. We'll read them in a second, but their first missionary journey. And as they're coming back through, they're appointing elders in each of the churches. Now, can you imagine? They come through Asia Minor and they're preaching the gospel for the first time. People are saved. And when they come back through, they're appointing brothers as church leaders, recognizing who the Holy Spirit has raised up. Some of these men probably had only been saved a few weeks or months, and yet they were appointed to a position. Acts 20, verse 8. Let me see. I think I have these on here. Nope. Okay. Acts 20, 28 has been a verse that's come up several times. And when Paul called the elders at Ephesus, he reminds them that the Holy Spirit appointed him to the shepherding ministry in that assembly. And I want to pick up, pause here for just a minute and review some of the things that Mercer's been teaching us. And also you can be making your way to 2 Samuel chapter 5. So we've learned that these men that were appointed to church leadership, the office, the Greek word is presbyteros. It's normally translated elder, right? So the descriptive term to speak of the office of church leadership mainly is elder, presbyteros in the New Testament. Sometimes episkopos is used. That's normally translated overseer. And as Mercer pointed out, in the King James, New King James, we have the Anglican influence and it's translated bishop, but it's really overseer. The word poimen was given to us. That's translated pastor or shepherd, sometimes literal shepherds. And it describes the work that the elders do in the assembly. And it's a collective work where men, different gifts, different abilities, collectively they safeguard and watch over the flock that's been allotted to them. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 5. Poimen, or shepherd, or pastor, the only time that there it is ever ascribed as a title is to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the good poimen in John 10. He's the great poimen in Hebrews 13. He's the arch poimen in 1 Peter 5. You'll never find, actually, this is a good point, just to time to make the point, that you'll never find in the New Testament one example of a title before a disciple's name. Not once. So we don't have Elder Bob. We don't have Deacon Jim. We don't have Pastor such and such. The only time that you find a title in the New Testament before a name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And Randy Amos and I were having a good talk about this a few years ago. And I said, you know, we're both doing writing, we're doing speaking. I said, I've been under conviction that some of my terminology isn't right. And Randy said, me too. How often do we say the Apostle Paul? I mean, it just makes it easier, right? You'll never find Apostle Paul in the scripture. It's always Paul an apostle. And the Spirit of God is very careful all the way through, not even Dr. Luke the physician. And Randy said, yeah, I'm trying to be careful in my writing to say Paul the an apostle. And just be very careful, because it's easy for us to try to start putting titles in front of men's names. A lot of the clarity that's given in scripture is very specific by the Holy Spirit. We never read of the Corinthian church, right? Church of Corinth. It was the church on earth, and there was believers gathered at this locale, but it's the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus. Sometimes it's easier to say the Corinth church, the Apostle Paul, but there's reasons that the Spirit of God does that. So hopefully you're at 2 Samuel chapter 5, and this is just dovetailing into where Mercer left off last session about appointing of leadership. And I find that in the Old Testament, often you have the patterns for things that God puts in place in the New Testament. And such is the case of appointing leaders, this plurality of male leadership that we're talking about. So the scene is this. David has been recognized as king over the southern kingdom. He's been serving in Hebron as king for 7.5 years. And now the civil war is over, and the northern tribes, they want to recognize David as king also. And they're going to anoint him. So 2 Samuel chapter 5, we read this. And all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over them. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Now, in these three verses, I believe we have a threefold pattern for recognizing leadership, godly leadership. First of all, notice that the people said that they recognize, the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over them. That's the divine call, the divine appointment. And so we're looking at Acts 20:28. It's the same in the New Testament. There was a divine appointment. It's the Holy Spirit lifts up elders from among the sheep. They're not brought in. They're not hired in. They're lifted up among the sheep. And Mercer made the great distinction there that how can you know the character of these men unless they're observed for a period of time? So the Holy Spirit lifts up shepherds from among the flock. So David was, there was a divine call. God chose David to rule over Israel. God chose a man after his own heart to rule over Israel. But then there's another call, and the people say, you know, David, even when Saul was king, it was you that led us out and in. That's the internal call. Saul's king, but David is the one who's doing the shepherding. He's leading the sheep in and out. So that's the internal call. And Mercer made a mention of this in 1 Timothy 3:1. He who desires the office, episcopate is a word there, it's the superintendence of the office, the outworking of the office, desires a good work. And that meaning of desire is literally as one's coming across the finish line and stretching out for the tape. It's a compulsion. And if God appoints you as a shepherd, he implants this desire to shepherd the sheep. Long before you're ever recognized, that desire is going to come out. You can't hold that back. I tell young men, if you can stay out of church leadership, stay out of church leadership. John Heller put it this way. He said, when you start meeting with the elders, you get a target on your back. And when you get recognized as an elder, you get a target on your front. I mean, it's a hard work. It's one of the hardest works there is as shepherding God's people. But if God has put his finger on you and he's appointed you to shepherd his people, you are going to have this inner compulsion and you can't help it. You just want to lead God's sheep. You want to lead them out, protect them, watch over them. So there's the internal desire. And then finally, notice that there's the recognized by all. So you got the divine call, internal call, and then recognized by all. Israel says, well, David, you were appointed by God. You were leading us in and out even when Saul was king. And so then they anointed David. Man catches up with God, all right? And so when we're talking about the appointment of elders, we've gone through all those wonderful characteristics of an elder, moral, spiritual qualifications. And if God has put his finger on a young man to be a shepherd, and that's, you can see it, he's leading God's people, he's working with young people, he has a heart for the sheep. By the time that people are saying, you know, I think such and such is God's provision for this assembly. And so there should be this scrutiny. There should be this putting it forth to the assembly and making sure that everyone's in agreement. But if the brother is called by the Lord and he's been doing the work and there's no reason that he should be disqualified, it should be a no-brainer, right? It should be like a 95 to 100% unity on the thing. Yeah, he's our man. God, he's the provision. If it's 50-50, you know, people say, well, maybe in time, but he's probably not. And having gone through this process a few times, I can tell you the man who says, pick me, he's not your elder. It's the guys who understand, they have reverence for the office and the work and the accountability, they're hesitant. Those are usually, and every one of the elders that we've seen come in to oversight through the years, it's been that hesitancy. You can see them doing the work, but they just know, oh, there's such accountability. It's such an important work. A kind of an awe for the office. Those are usually your elders. But this is God's provision. And we need to wait on it. I went through, and one of the meetings we started, we recognized a man who wasn't recognized by God. I never want to go through that again. It's a miserable situation, and it causes so much heartache within the local assembly. So wait for God to lift up the oversight. So continue on, 1 Peter, Mercer mentioned that as well. Peter was just one. He was just an elder speaking to other elders and so forth. So the idea is this expression, God is masculine and God is plural. And so he is calling the leadership of his people to be masculine and plural. And so it's representing the triune God, a plural, one entity, but plural persons and masculine. And so that's what's being expressed by the leadership of a local assembly. Of course, we have deacons as well, spiritual men. They're assigned to duties as needed by those in spiritual leadership. So God is masculine and plural in persons. I don't particularly like this picture because artists always seem to make the Lord look feminine. And he's not. He's a man's man. He's bold and courageous. But here we have an artist depiction of the Trinity, the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is masculine and God is plural. So again, these are some of examples of only plural male leadership in the local churches. Titus recognized plural men in each of the churches at Crete. Paul and Barnabas ensure elders were recognized in the new churches established in their first missionary journey. Peter was not the pope. He was just another elder. When Paul addresses the assembly at Philippi, he addresses, says those that have the elders, I think it might be bishops, but it's episkopos and deacons. So they were a mature meeting. They had a plurality of male leadership, both in the oversight of elders and in the deacons. Deacons were to be mature males, and all the apostles were men. So there's no example in scripture of a woman being in any kind of a leadership position. Now, I think with the deacons that the wives of the deacons could help in the ministry, and that's why there was criterion for them as well, as they help with the work. But there's no example of a woman being in a ministry. It breaks the mold. It breaks the pattern in which God is trying to show something of himself. He's masculine and he's plural. I want to reiterate what we were thinking about the other day in that in the oversight of, and you have plural men, you may have one brother who's good at administration, another one good at counseling, another good at preaching. Maybe you got an expositor. Maybe you got a guy, he's really good at mercy. You know, if I was sick in the hospital and dying, I wouldn't want me to come visit me. I want an elder has the gift of, you know, mercy, you know, makes those hospital visits, can do hospice care and things like that. That's hard for me. So here you have all these different gifts and each one has the same authority. It doesn't mean that they're equal in gift, but they have equal authority and they're watching and caring over their sheep with their gifts. And there's a safety in the multitude of counselors and they serve the Lord and represent the Lord together. If one gets in sin, you got other elders to deal with it. My father-in-law was a Baptist pastor. And I remember one night when we were at his home, he got a phone call. It was late Saturday evening and it was a woman in the meeting. And she was giving him such a hard time for not knowing where something was in the kitchen. And I thought, man, what pressure on one individual to lead. He doesn't have all the gifts. He doesn't have the encouragement, the accountability. And so God's design is very good practically, but it's also representing the character of God, the fact that he's masculine and that he's plural. So plurality of male leadership, safety, multitude of counselors. What's the expression? Proactive elders. We've been thinking about that. It's not a lackadaisical work. It's an active work. All the criterion in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 is present tense verbs. When one ceases to meet that criterion, they cease to be effective in representing Christ in the work. So that's very important. So spiritual men called of God from among the sheep to serve the sheep, deacons, spiritual men assigned duties, and so forth. But the distortion would be women leading or a one-man ministry or leader. There's no example of even a one-man, I should say there's no good example of a one-man ministry in the church. You might say, well, Diotrephes is an example, but that's not a good example, right? In John, 3 John, he wanted the preeminence in the meeting. Christ is to have the preeminence in the meeting. And one of the signs of that is he was hindering the word of God from being preached in the meeting. What the Spirit of God was leading, he even kept a letter from John from being read in the assembly. So he was hindering the ministry of the Spirit of God, and he wanted the preeminence. He'd taken the place of Christ. And I think there's that challenge for a one-person leadership in not taking that position and taking a place of honor. Again, no example of a woman leading. I find it hard to get around the criterion of being the husband of one wife, literally a one-woman man. How can a woman be a one-woman man? I guess if you go through the surgeries and stuff, you might be able to, but practically speaking, that's not even it's not even possible. So the latter promotes church spectatorship, pride, and lack of accountability. We need other elders to keep us accountable, right? And let's face it, we're not up all the time. I can remember going through a hard time in the Rockford Assembly. This is like 20 years ago. There was three of us in the oversight then, and it seemed like from one week to another, one of us wanted to quit. The other two, no, let's go. Let's keep going, you know, and then the next week, I'm done. You know, no, we got to keep going. It's the Lord's sheep. If we love the Lord, we'll be able to carry on and take care of his sheep. And so we need each other and that encouragement. It's a very hard work. Whoops. So again, what's being reflected? Reflecting God's glory. God is masculine, plural in persons, perfectly unified in all that he does. And the elders need to speak in unity as one voice to the sheep. It's very, when there's different messages coming from the elders, that is going to create chaos within the assembly. So there needs to be a unified message. Again, that reflects the unity of the triune God. So this is a common scene today. We have one man who's supreme in the assembly. I get a chuckle every time I look at this picture. So you got five church leaders here, four women, they're smiling, but the man looks like he's in torment. Now, this is a good picture, and this goes along with some of the things Mercer was saying. Let's just read 1 Peter 5:2-3 together. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willing, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So Acts 20:28, the Holy Spirit chooses elders from among the flock. And then in 1 Peter 5, Peter says, yes, shepherd and stay among the sheep. You can't shepherd the sheep unless you're among the sheep. And so it's a wonderful thing that way that God has lifted up his shepherds to take care of his sheep, and they remain among the sheep. And so we have this scene where the shepherds are leading and the sheep are following. And if they're exhibiting the character of Christ, their authority comes, as Mercer said, from the word of God, they're following the word of God, then the sheep will naturally want to follow. And this is a beautiful picture. I wish it was like this in all of our assemblies. Amen. It's not. Let's face it, the sheep, they glare. They bite, they kick. They stink. And there's times that you want to shoot them. But they're the Lord's sheep. And God loves them. And if we have a right relationship as church leaders with the Lord and we love the Lord, we'll find the compulsion then to love his sheep as he would. If we're not in a right relationship with the Lord, it's going to be impossible to shepherd his sheep. I just want to encourage you, if you are in an oversight, make the primary part of your elders' meetings to encouragement from the word and prayer instead of always working problems. If you're always working problems, you're going to come to the elders meeting and you're going to be kind of, and you're going to leave the elders meeting, But if you can encourage each other from the word and look to the Lord for strength and prayer, you'll find that the elders meetings, even when it's difficulty, are going to be an encouragement because you're looking to the Lord to solve your problems. And we don't have the wisdom to. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord and he'll give it. And we've had to claim that promise many times through the years. So again, the summary is where God is masculine, plural in persons, perfect, unified in all that he does. So I'm just going to close there. I figured there might be some good discussion on this. Father, we just thank you for this text. We thank you for your provision for your people to take care of them, to inspect, to encourage, to exhort, correct, feed, protect, whatever is necessary. And Father, we're thankful that even in the means that you have chosen to care for your people, it reflects yourself. You're a triune God. You're in unity. You're masculine. And so, Father, we want to reflect that. We pray, Father, that others within the church would see the importance of showing forth your glory in the assembly by the leadership that's in place. So we just ask you for help in these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.